online fifth Sunday, no, midweek Wednesday in Lent. Let us gather our hearts and our minds to worship God. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness.
And illumine your church.
God is our light and our salvation.
Our refuge and our stronghold.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
we praise your name, O God.
For with you is the fountain of life.
And in your light we see light.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning you called light into being, and you set light in the sky to govern night and day. In a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, you led your people into freedom. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, for you are merciful. And you love your whole creation. And with all your creatures, we give you glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Psalms, the 133rd chapter. I invite you to listen for the word of God. How very good and pleasant is it when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
In the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I truly tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
There is a great irony in the fact that these days we are physically distancing for the sake of the life of the community. We have all had to learn rapidly why and how this is necessary, and a term like flattening the curve that I still had to look up a few weeks back is now part of everybody's vocabulary. This past week, I received a text with the picture of a guy, somewhat seedy looking, draped over his couch with a remote control in his hand. The caption said, "2019, lazy bastard. 2020, responsible adult." When I send it on to my colleagues in a Wyoming conference, the dean there responded by writing, "We can save the world by lying on the couch. Don't screw this up, people." Wedging out on the couch, social isolation is, however, not the way that community was once imagined. Between Abraham and Egypt lie just three generations of a growing family tribe. But by the time that the Israelites are leaving Egypt, there are so many of them that 10 commandments are necessary to lay out some rules for how to live for 40 years in the desert together. When the psalmist tells us how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity, we know that that unity is often hard fought, and that congregations have suffered and split and lingered and died for lack of finding ways of living together in harmony. That is why St. Matthew included the so-called church rule in his gospel. Now, I do have to admit that it often surprises me when people read scripture and rose-tint their glasses to think, because Jesus said so, it never had to be applied. Remember the famous verses in St. Matthew's Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says, "Do not worry. Do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or drink or wear. Look at the birds of the air who neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them? People often tell me that they think Jesus said that to his disciples because none of them ever worried. But I think that the truth is the other way around. St. Matthew wrote it to remind his listeners and us to quit wasting our time and energy with worrying about things we have no control over. We don't need to be told not to do the things that we don't do anyway. We need to be reminded not to do the things we tend to do. Which means that when Jesus said, "Do not worry," he probably spoke to a community of superb worriers. It's the same with the church rule. St. Matthew is the only gospel writer who includes it in his account of Jesus' life. Chances are he didn't do so because everything was going just fine in his congregation. Chances are they worked. And he wrote it because he knew there had to be a process to address what was not going well among his people, and what might not be going well among followers of Christ in the future. Arguments, disagreements, threats, bullying, anger. How can these things be addressed before they take hold and destroy a community? How can they be stopped before they hollow out the body of Christ from the inside? And what do we do with those who are members of the body of Christ and also cause of such conflict? Don't go it alone, he says. Or rather, do give it a first shot, but know that it might not bear fruit. And if it doesn't, don't stop. Instead, gather witnesses. If once again that too doesn't work, involve the community. Address it head on, and do not think that secrecy will solve your problem. It will only make it worse. The process is public, and it is the community who hears and who decides what happens next. Now, needless to say, that is neither easy nor comfortable. Statistics seem to say that about 85% of members in mainline denominations consider themselves conflict averse. And trust me, a good number of pastors as well. But keeping a community together is both the work and the responsibility of everyone. When communication and interaction isn't watched in a community, tended to, and kept in order, the consequences can be devastating. Because it is not just that community, it is not just that part of the body of Christ that is being hurt, as if that weren't bad enough. It is that the entire body of Christ and its witness to the world is compromised when a community suffers. Remember St. Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, likely one of the most conflicted congregations we know of in history? If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it, he writes in the 12th chapter of that letter. Being community, living in community, is immensely hard work. But In spite of our current directive to stay on the couch to save the world, it is the only way to live together as Christians and witness together in our faith to the world. Tending God's gift of community and allowing it to flourish among us is indeed abundance and life. Amen.
Unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here and online their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the health of the creation, for abundant harvests that all may share, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For public servants, for the government, and those who protect us, for those who work to bring peace, justice, healing, and protection in this and every place, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who travel, and for those who are sick and suffering, and for all who work for the health and the healing of others, and for all who are in captivity, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For deliverance in the time of affliction, especially in our time of isolation. For deliverance from wrath, anger, danger, and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all servants of the church, for this assembly, and for all people who await from the Lord great and abundant mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord, giving thanks for all who have gone before us and are at rest, rejoicing in the communion of all the saints. We commend ourselves, one another, and our whole life to you, through Christ our Lord.
To you, O Lord.
And together, we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
know yourself held in God's